Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of the secrets to improving multifamily culture, employee recruitment, retention, and morale. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Tony Souza, the Vice President of Operations with RPM Living. Welcome, Tony.
Great to be here, Paul.
Hey, listen, we talked a little bit before we went on the air here, and it's been a long time that I've been admiring a lot of the things you've been doing and you're posting on social media and some of the different venues that you've appeared at. So it's just a matter of time. We finally got you here, and I'm excited to have you here. And this is something that you told me, this topic is something that is kind of important to you. Tell us a little bit about why.
It is. And Paul, thanks. Thanks again for having me. I am grateful and excited to be here as well. But yeah, this passion that I do have for people and culture and morale and employee retention and recruitment, I think you mentioned as well. I mean, it's sort of the topic of the day. And obviously, over the last couple of years, we've all, you know, experienced a lot of things, both personally and professionally. And I think now is the opportunity to probably reengage and redefine, I think, our individual leadership style, help participate in our organizational process within our organization and our company on who we are and what we believe and how we support people. The old adage of people are our greatest asset, I felt was said often, but rarely sort of followed through with or actually carried out in our culture. Sometimes professionally, we like to talk about it, but we, when it came down to making hard decisions that were in favor of people, often we would make the decision in favor of the business over people. And so I think you can do both, and that's what I'm passionate about, is try to find a way to do both. And obviously, people are our greatest asset, so let's make sure we take care of them.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, because there. Prior to the last couple of years, prior to the pandemic, there was a big, it seemed like move that was when you go to the regional or the national conferences, mm-hmm. and you walk the trade show floor, and you see a lot of people that have artificial intelligence or AI. They've got right. The virtual touring, and then of course the pandemic hits, and a lot of that technology that was out there is being adopted, because you really have to operate your properties in a world that you don't know anything about how you're going to operate your property.
Right.
But no matter what, the move is towards those type of virtual, virtual settings within the industry. It's still a people business, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. Early 2020, probably quarter one, quarter two, when the pandemic hit hardest in March, everybody sort of jumped to the technology aspect, the self-guided and artificial intelligence and others. And obviously, it's come a long way since then. And frankly, I'd like to say on a lot of things I'm an early adopter, but on this specifically, sort of the self-guiding touring technology at the time, March 2020, I was a skeptic, frankly, of the technology, if it was ready. And obviously, there was a lot of people in the market telling us it was ready to go, and the experience would be seamless. But ultimately, I think what it came down to during that time was still human connectivity, and that didn't necessarily have to be in person. Still had much to do with people's interaction with one another, support of one another. That was a time when there was a lot of fear and anxiety throughout the world, and you know, regardless of what market you were in, everybody was feeling it. And I think the more that you found ways to be creative and connect people with people, I think the companies and the properties that were really the most successful as they emerged a bit more in the summertime and obviously through the fall as we started to learn more and more about the situation and the world around us and the virus and the dangers and other areas that we can, you know, somewhat keep safe as well. But it always came down to, in my opinion, and I was boots on the ground, operations, very close to the site level during this pandemic. And so I felt my greatest strength as a leader was to really have a strong understanding of what the teams needed, what the teams were afraid of, what the support of the teams on the site level, as well as, you know, what prospects desired and what they found valuable at that time. I felt it was important that they defined it and we didn't. And I think that you know, successful companies are doing that still to this day, is allowing the customers to define what they want and what they find valuable versus, you know, we're going to tell them, well, hey, humanless touring is what you want, right? Well, I'm not convinced of that. I think it's a supplement to the process, and I think we need to continue as leaders to have our eyes open and ears open as well to let the customer tell us what they want, because frankly, they will tell us, whether it be on Yelp or Google reviews or on the phone. They will tell us.
So true. Listen, we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and you know, the topic is that we're talking about today is improving the secrets to improving multifamily culture, employee recruitment, retention, and morale. Let's talk a little bit about culture. With 4 minutes left, let you take it from there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think culture is different today than it was just a couple of years ago. I think people want a sense of security. They want to know that they're heard from their leaders. The world of customers and prospects, there's a tenseness out there, and employees and site level employees are feeling that tenseness from today's customer, and they're trying to process their own emotions and they're trying to process their own challenges, and there's a tenseness for them behind closed doors as well, probably personally and professionally, and so I think for us leaders is for us to be incredibly empathetic and listen better than we've ever listened before to their needs, their desires, their growth, you know, development plans, and also to adjust our business strategies and plans around what they believe is working and not working. I think it's very important for us to continue to support our teams more than ever before. I think some have argued that today's sort of retention and marketing strategy is really is going to be focused around employees almost more than prospects or new customers. I don't know if that's necessarily true. It's something that I've tried to do for the last 15 plus years, is continue to support my teams in any capacity, in every capacity. And that doesn't mean just necessarily telling them yes at every request. Support doesn't mean that. And I think a lot of people get that confused. Holding people accountable, but also at the same time coaching them through the difficult challenges and obstacles that they face is what I believe teams appreciate and respect, and ultimately that breeds, I think, a healthy culture. Culture ultimately, I think, is sort of that soil that you plant a plant in. If it's full of nutrients and great enriched soil, then beautiful plants will grow from it. And the plants in this analogy, of course, are employees.
Yeah, I mean, that is a great analogy. You know, some of the things that, and we've got about a minute and a half left in this segment, some of the things that you think people could do to improve that company culture.
I think leaders, we often think we have all the answers. I think we're quick to to believe that we know what's best right away, and before we probably process or listen or review employee surveys. I think those are the components that we need to take a look at quickly, draw some correlations, get some feedback from your teams. And frankly, teams, you know, they don't expect a perfect culture or perfect atmosphere or an environment to work in, but they expect one that's open, transparent, and improving. And also, if you ask them for their feedback, it's highly recommended that you start making progress on some of the things that seem to be conclusive in any feedback or survey you get from your employees.
I mean, I think that's important to show that you were listening and take some action that you're able to take at that time, so that they feel like what they said mattered. Well, we're gonna take a break here. We're gonna be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because Multifamily Matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of the secrets to improving multifamily culture, employee recruitment, retention, and morale. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations for RPM Living. Before we get back into the topic, I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide any show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Tony, we talked a little bit about culture and obviously kind of frame things by where we've been in the industry for the last couple of years with the pandemic. But let's talk a little about employee retention. This is a hot topic. You know, the great resignation, you know, people are realizing that I need to try and retain who I've got. And you know, people are using things like stay interviews instead of exit interviews and all kinds of things that we hear in the industry. Tell me a little bit about retention, what you're seeing, and where you think we can improve.
Yeah, I think companies are getting nervous. I think supervisors and managers are getting nervous a little bit that all their employees are going to leave because we hear about this great resignation, and people are ready to leave, and they're gonna leave quickly, and so I think organizations and leaders are reacting very quickly here, and trying to, in my opinion, sort of re-engage, maybe for some of those who haven't stayed engaged. And so I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good trend. Obviously, there's two sides to a coin on this, but I think the good aspect of it is that, you know, we are re-engaging with our employee base at all levels, and really trying to learn what's most important to them. I recently posted something that really, I think, struck a nerve with many, is that I don't think we need to overcomplicate things. I think we're reading a lot of articles, and people are concerned that, again, people are going to be leaving left and right. But I think what people and employees, I being one of them, and all of us being one of them to some extent, you know, really want is we want to be trusted. We want support. We want to be heard. We want some autonomy. We want to be able to have some freedom to make some decisions. We want to be paid fairly. We don't want to be paid too much or not enough. We want to be paid fairly within the marketplace for our experience. And I think if you're doing that consistently, supporting, providing freedom and autonomy, coaching, and also I think an important component to this that many managers and supervisors forget is also working with your employees to develop a growth plan, a professional growth plan. And that's okay to ask an employee, you know, what your goals are in the next, you know, 12 to 24 months, you know, within 3 to 5 years. What are you looking to do, and how can I help you get there? That's okay. And then work with them on a plan. Years back, my kids are a little bit older. You know, we put together what they call a birth plan. Many listening may be familiar with that. It doesn't always go to that exact plan. But you have sort of an outline, and you know, you have a starting point, and you have a destination. In a birthing plan, hopefully it goes smoothly, and you have a wonderful little bundle of joy by the end. But, you know, in a you know, professional growth plan, you have a starting point. Here we are today, and this is where we want to go. Now, you know, it's an opportunity, and it opens up a conversation for you to discuss with that employee. You know, is their goal, you know, to become the CEO within 3 years a bit too lofty? Sure, have that conversation, right? But can we elevate you to the next position within the next 3 to 5 years? You know, probably or hopefully, especially if you follow the plan and also, you know, work your tail off as well, you're going to have those opportunities will arise. Will you get them? Nothing is promised in life. But, you know, I don't think employees are expecting promises per se. They just want you to work with them and to grow them. And if you do all of those things, Paul, that I just mentioned, I think that leads to a very happy employee. I don't think that they're going to be anxiously trying to go somewhere else. And frankly, if you're doing that and you're doing that well and you're having those conversations and it's done with authenticity and transparency and you check in frequently, I don't know why you would want to leave that. Frankly, that I think that's almost pure gold for an employee today.
You know, listening to what you said, we have about 6 minutes left in this segment, mm-hmm. but listening to what you were saying, it sounds to me like what you're advocating is being proactive as opposed to being reactive when it comes to employee, working with employees on engaging with them. Don't wait until the employee's unhappy and wants to leave. Have those discussions not only in the beginning, but continue to have those discussions throughout their employment so that they're getting the feedback they need. Is that right?
Absolutely. I think you think any healthy relationship you may have in your life has ongoing conversations about where we are today and where we're hoping to go. And again, where you want to go is going to be key. And I think setting up that roadmap about where we are, where we're going, and really having healthy, transparent checkpoints along the way that you can check in and say, are we making progress? And are we making progress towards the goal that we intended? And if not, you'll make some adjustments. And all of that is okay. I think a lot of people think, well, I'm so busy, or I don't want to check in because maybe it's not going as well as I want. That's okay, right? Like, life is messy. Even at times professionally, it's not exactly going down the growth, pattern or development plan that you wanted. And that's okay. Can you improve it? Can you change the plan? Yes, and yes, and that's okay. And I think if you embrace that and allow for that to be okay, it allows for more of an open dialogue, and frankly, it just feels more authentic to people. And so I find that's healthy. Honesty is always the best policy, as we've all been told. And I think, when we engage with that policy and allow it to really be true, in allowing for that, it builds a relationship between yourself and your employees that in time will continue to only strengthen.
Let me ask you this question, because I hear this a lot. It may be aimed more towards maintenance than anything else, but a lot of people are commenting on the fact that they feel like they're losing employees to other industries. In other words, they're not moving from their multifamily company to another multifamily company. They may be going to a completely different industry. Have you seen that trend? And if so, what do you attribute it to?
Yeah, I think that trend is happening. So, I think it's important for us leaders to sort of walk it back a little bit and go back to the pandemic. And psychologically, I think what happened during that time was we all reevaluated a lot of things, our health, our priorities, our family, our industry, our careers that we happen to be in. And I think we asked ourselves a couple of questions, but I think the biggest question was, are we doing what we enjoy? Are we happy? And do we feel that we are appreciated in what we do? And I think if many of those answers were you don't feel appreciated or you're not happy, then I think you strongly considered other industries. There's a pay component. I won't pretend that pay is not a realistic challenge sometimes in the multifamily world, to pay as competitive as some of the other industries. That's a real challenge, an obstacle to overcome, to be as competitive with maybe the construction industry or some of the trades. So that's a real issue. But ultimately, I think it came down to the heart issue. And frankly, I believe the mass exodus occurred post-pandemic because many of those questions that people asked themselves, they didn't feel appreciated and they didn't feel supported. And although I don't think they're resentful, they didn't forget. And so they've moved on and they're considering other industries. I think there's another profession that's also going through this challenge is the education profession, the education industry, teachers. Obviously, there's been a lot that have retired or transitioned into other industries as well. And I think that's an industry that's also trying to compete for talent and increase, obviously, their bench, if you will, of great qualified teachers, just as we're trying to increase our bench of great qualified associates in our business, whether it be maintenance or office.
We've got about a minute left. Quick tips you could give to somebody as far as retention.
Oh, retention is all about authenticity. And ultimately, what does that mean? It means having a relationship with your employees. And if you don't have one now, and having a relationship isn't an acquaintance. It's knowing them. It's knowing what motivates them. It's knowing what demotivates them. It's knowing a little bit about their life. And I'm not talking about TMI. You don't need to know all things about your employees to an extent that they don't want you to know. But know about them. Know what drives them. Know what motivates them. And if you know that and you can tap into that and help support that, then you're going to have a better percentage and a better odds in keeping them long-term than you would if you didn't know those things about them.
All right. Well, we are going to leave it here. We're going to be back with our next segment right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of the secrets to improving multifamily culture, employee recruitment, retention, and morale. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations for RPM Living. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Tony, we talked a little bit in the last segment about employee retention and how important that is and things that have changed in the last couple of years. How about recruitment? That's something that when you're trying to fill a position, as opposed to trying to keep somebody there, you have to have a different outlook on it, I think. And one of the things prior to the pandemic that I heard a lot of from people is they would go into, you know, hotels or into restaurants when they were, you know, traveling or having dinner out. And if they had a great server or a great person waiting on them, they would, give them their card and say, you need to be in the multifamily industry. It seems a simple way of doing things, but I'm not sure how successful it is today. What do you think?
Well, yes. I still think that can work. Obviously, that's definitely a hopeful strategy, and on occasion I think we all have those stories of we met that person at that store and that worked out. But, you know, a point that I do want to make for a lot of people to realize is, you know, in the earlier segment we talked about the Great Resignation and a lot of people looking for new opportunities. It cuts both ways. As much as we talked about retention, and I think many companies and leaders concerned that they're going to be losing people, I think if you put your recruiter cap on, as there's many recruiters, you know, maybe listening, but there's many recruiters out there and headhunters, they realize that this is fishing season, and there's great opportunity because there's more people than ever in the market. And so it's more of a glass half full perspective as a recruiter now. And I think, frankly, as operators, maintenance, any position you may have in the multifamily business, I think everyone ultimately needs to have a recruiter hat and be able to wear that at any point. I happen to sort of be pretty engaged on the recruiting front. I've been on the professional network LinkedIn for probably a decade plus, back when it was a ghost town of sorts, and most people weren't there. I was dabbling in that space and just, you know, kind of tweaking and seeing what worked. But ultimately, where I sort of amplified my efforts, and that probably 5 to 7 years ago, was purely because I was with a company that was a little bit smaller, didn't have a big recruiting arm, and I realized I was the recruiting arm, and I had to go out and make contacts and source leads for my positions. And this is pre-pandemic, and so I had some time to kind of test out these digital platforms, social media platforms, to see what engaged applicants and potential candidates for some time. But here we are, sort of pandemic hits. I take a strategy of becoming incredibly human in my strategy of who I am, and at times if we have openings and who I'm bringing on board or who I'm looking for. And I've really found that the more human I became, which means just more transparent, allowed people a little, to see behind the veil a little bit about who I am and what I believe, people seem to be really drawn to that. And obviously, 2020 and 2021, it was sort of a year or two of crisis or crisis management. And I think what I tried to convey, to a digital community or a social media community was the type of leader that I was, or, and who my company was and is. And people are drawn to that. And so I think there's a great opportunity in this great resignation, or this great shift, if you will, because there's a lot of people looking for opportunities, and they're going to be drawn to people that they believe they identify with, people with courage, people with empathy, all these things that we talked about, I think, in earlier segments. Now is a great opportunity to find amazing people. And so, I have really sort of been fortunate to be pretty active in this space prior to the pandemic. So I have some knowledge of the space prior to all of this, and I think been able to really, I think, calibrate my message to be very succinct, but also I think very enticing to many that are out in the free market.
The market itself, the multifamily market, as far as residents has changed. I mean, I can remember a time, I'm much older than you, I can remember a time when, people, if they wanted to find an apartment, they'd go to the grocery store and get a magazine that had all the listings in it. Of course, now everything is done online. People are making virtual visits. That's changed a lot, because obviously the technology is there, but the technology is something that is accepted by the more youthful generations as opposed to the baby boomers like myself. That use it in, far more than I would ever use it for certain things. So how has that changed as far as your pool of people? Obviously, there's younger people that have grown up with technology and so forth. What kind of things do you look for, and what changes have you seen as far as the pool that you're drawing from?
Well, it's an interesting question. Obviously, it's multifaceted answer potentially there, multi-generational as well. And I think it comes down to the old adage that, that marketers use is, you know, fish where the fishes are. So, you know, it depends on, you know, the caliber or the experience level of the candidates that you're looking for. And know what platforms that you need to be a part of to find candidates that may fit what you're looking for. And I think that also means that we have to be hyper aware of generational norms and how people go about learning of opportunities. Social media obviously is becoming, you know, pretty dominant across all generations. And when I say social media, more like the Facebooks and you know, maybe even Instagram a little bit as well. LinkedIn, you know, is becoming more prevalent of a place that people are learning more about that they can be a part of and learn about opportunities and engage with a network there as well. But ultimately, our business is becoming more technical. And when I say technical, I mean more sort of you know, computerized and IT focused. And so as we're recruiting, whether it be office or even maintenance, we do have to test for their level of technological experience, because much of their day job will be utilizing a computer, will be interacting with prospects that expect technology to be used and engaged with. And so, you know, that is a component of today's workforce, that you have to have some level of experience with technology. And if you don't, you have to be ready and willing to learn more. And so I think, you know, engaging with folks online, you know, first and foremost tells you that they are familiar with the space and not afraid of technology, which is kind of the first step in learning more about how technology can benefit your life. Obviously, you know, we can probably go down a whole road of how technology can be dangerous as well, but technology is there to help and I think create efficiencies when it's best, when it's used in its best capability.
All right, we've got about 1 minute left in the segment. How about some tips for recruitment for our listeners out there?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, first and foremost, you have to determine what position you're looking for. And then I think you have to ask yourself the question, where are these candidates? Where are they looking for jobs? And target that publication, whether it's online or maybe it is a magazine, maybe it's a local publication that you think is more targeted for maybe a maintenance tech or a porter or a housekeeper. You know, so be really strategic with where you're going. Not everything has to be posted on LinkedIn. That's not where all candidates are. So be strategic with your recruiting efforts, and when you find candidates, especially good candidates with good resumes, engage with them quickly because the next hiring manager is going to be engaging with good candidates very quickly.
All right. Well, we are going to leave it there. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of the secrets to improving multifamily culture, employee recruitment, retention, and morale. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran Tony Sousa, the Vice President of Operations for RPM Living. So we've talked about the culture, we've talked about retention, we've talked about recruitment. Let's talk a little bit about morale. Tell me, what are you seeing in the industry as far as morale?
I think, you know, obviously we've touched a little bit on morale in all aspects of this. And morale is, you know, I think out of the pandemic, as we mentioned, was concerning for our business. And I think it continues to remain on the radar. I think a lot of our team members are pretty burnt out. They work long, long hours. And today's customer and resident, has high expectations. And they also have, less patience as well. And so I think we really need to, as leaders, you need to continue to keep this on your radar and find ways to encourage morale. And that's through just opportunities to have more fun. I think a way to offset a heavy culture or a heaviness in your job is to find ways that your employees like to have fun. And we're doing a lot here. RPM really supports this culture of fun and supporting your teams and doing, different team activities and bonding activities. And it's not just sort of your pizza parties anymore. It's, we have an event coming up here with our team. We're going to be doing a cooking demonstration together as a team, and at the end, as we learn, we're going to be creating the food and cooking together as a team. I've heard teams do go-kart racing, or even some teams paintballing, or going to an arcade, or whatever the case is. Every team is a little different, and fun is defined differently. But I think keeping it light, allowing people to get to know one another in a fun atmosphere to where you could laugh, high five, and just have a great time will just continue to help, lighten the spirits and encourage the morale, because the work is heavy and the work is hard. And frankly, I don't know if I or anyone else sees the work getting less or becoming less. It seems as though it's only continuing to become more challenging, and trying to always increase your efficiencies and response times. And so I think if we can have more fun in each team, and each company can define what that is for their associates, I think that could help offset some of the burden and the heaviness that is the day job.
And you made a good point about the work not getting any less work. It's, if anything, it's more. And I've heard that comment quite a bit, that when it comes to the fact that there's people have left their positions and they're in the process of trying to recruit new ones, that's more work for fewer people to do. So that certainly could have an effect on morale just in and of itself.
Absolutely, and I think it just goes to the point that I've made is trying to lighten the load the best you can, and the work needs to get done, right, Paul? I mean, the work is the work, but how can we be creative as leaders and organizational leaders to have it be a place where you enjoy coming to and have a good time and enjoy the people you're around? That helps with the work load at times. I know it does for me, and I can trust only it does for my teams and other teams, that if you enjoy where you go to work and enjoy the people you work with, and you look forward to maybe a quarterly event or or an event once or twice a year. I mean, you can look forward to that, and you can kind of count the days towards having a good time. I mean, it depends on budgets and costs and all of that sort of thing. But I'll tell you, creativity is free, and there is no cost to being creative and finding ways to enjoy one another and have a good time. And so I just really encourage leaders and managers and companies to continue to find ways to put a smile on employees' faces, because the work is heavy and the work is hard. And the more we could do that, I think people will enjoy what they do.
We've got about 4 minutes left before I want to switch to a different topic. I wanted to ask you, what is it important for a leader to show the people who work for them in regards to, it's one thing, as you said, to do these events, but on a day-to-day basis, what is it important for the leader to show that employee to keep that morale high?
I think there's a few things that are important. I think consistency in behavior and emotion. In a world that seems to be very up and very down in just a matter of 24 hours, I think what employees are looking for in their leaders is a consistency, a calmness, a determination to be successful, but also to calm the waters and to have a plan. I think those are key to making sure your employees feel safe and that their leaders are in control of the situation. I also think, having that positive attitude in the midst of challenge, having that sort of glass half full, optimistic perspective is key as well. And some may be listening to this and either recognizing their negative Nancys, or maybe you're just unaware that maybe you come across a bit negative. It's okay to ask some trusted people in your life, how do you think I'm perceived? That's actually an exercise that I did as a young leader. I didn't love the results that I got when I asked, how I was perceived. And so I realized early as a young leader that I can manage and control how I'm perceived by my team. And I've taken, 10 plus years to make sure that what I'm putting out there into the universe, if you will, is positive energy, optimism, and just always a resiliency to overcome. And so I think if you're doing that, your team is happy to be a part of your team. And frankly, those emotions that I just mentioned are contagious. And if you're doing that, they also will subscribe to what you're putting out.
We got about a minute left before I want to transition. So how about some tips on morale other than what we've talked about?
Again, I think continuing to find ways to have fun, to be authentic, to allow for any conversation to be had, all of those things will just continue to lead, in my opinion, to a healthy culture. And when you have a healthy culture, you have people that are enjoying what they're doing and ultimately allow for them to be great at what they're doing. And when you're great at what you're doing, the property's performance only continues to improve, and that makes everyone happy, including your owners and your clients. And so if you're focused on performance and creating an atmosphere that's conducive for great performance, I think everyone in the organization will be happy.
Fantastic. Well, I do want to transition. We could talk about this topic for another episode,
yep.
But I want to transition. and I always ask our guests, and I find it fascinating, the answers we get, but tell us a little bit about how you got into the business, a little bit about yourself, and then I want to talk a little bit about the company.
Yeah. So I like most in multifamily, stumbled into this business. I was a broadcast journalist major, so I did a lot of different broadcasts and even radio stuff as well. So this is sort of my home away from home, if you will. But I ultimately lived at the property that I started at, and I was engaged, and I needed to save some money. And so I thought, hey, how about I work here? I could that. And I like people. I'm a journalist, and I love their stories. And I wanted to learn the fundamentals of sales. And so I got a job at where I worked, where I lived, and I think that's the story of many. Got a discount, was able to put money away for my wedding, and the rest is history. And I'm married 15 years, so 15 plus years. Wow. So it all worked out.
And tell us a little bit about RPM Living. I mean, I think a lot of people know about it. I think I saw where it's ranked now 7th in the country as far as size.
Yes. So RPM Living, incredible company, proud to be a part of the company, based out of Austin, owner, operator, manager, 7th largest management company in the United States, and growing. It's an incredible group of people and leadership that are a part of RPM Living. I feel fortunate to be here and contribute in any way that I can, and I'm excited to be here for future growth as well.
And you're based in San Antonio, right?
I am based here in San Antonio. I'm originally from California. We've been here about seven years or so, and we love San Antonio, Texas.
And so is there anything that you need for your portfolios that you manage there?
We are always looking for amazing talent. We may not have the openings, but when we do, it's just a direct message or a phone call away. So if you are amazing talent, please connect with us here at RPM Living. Obviously, you can go to the website. You could reach myself or anyone else that works here at RPM Living on LinkedIn as well. Send us a direct message. Let us know you listened, and we'd love to engage with you.
And tell people how they could reach you if they wanted to find out more.
Yeah, probably the easiest and best way is going to be through LinkedIn. Obviously, you could just search my name, Tony Souza. If you search RPM Living as well, you're going to see all the associates that work for this wonderful company. And then you can kind of probably needle down into the specific market that you may be listening in and try to reach out to some contacts that may be there, or simply to go to rpmliving.com and you can search the Career Center and take a look and see if there's any opportunities that are right for you.
And are you planning on going to San Diego for Apartmentalize?
Well, I try never to miss an opportunity to go to California, but interestingly, that week my family from California has made a trip coming to Texas, and so unfortunately I won't be there this year. I've been to quite a few conferences this year. It's been amazing, from TAA to AIM to a few others here, but I won't be able to be in San Diego, so I'll be watching from afar and, as the kids say, sort of having a bit of FOMO, fear of missing out, But I hope everyone has a wonderful time in San Diego.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Tony. It's been great. And we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.